I'd like to start off in the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, this morning. The Lord's been talking to my heart over the past few weeks on this scripture text. It starts in the Matthew, the 25th chapter, in the 14th verse. We won't take time to read the whole time, but it said, the kingdom of heaven was as a man traveling into a far country. And he delivered to servants his goods that were there. And then he went into a far country, left them. And I want to look, we know the account how he gave one and he went and traded and he gained others. And he gave another one so many, and he went out and he traded and gained. But I want to talk a little bit about the one today that hid his talent. It said in verse 24, it says, "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I want to talk just a little bit about this one man here. This man, he said, "I knew thee that thou art a hard man." And I looked that up in the Greek, and it talks about being harsh and severe, being exacting or demanding. I don't believe the Lord is that way today. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were under a hard taskmaster that exacted from them more than what they could possibly. He told them, "You make more bricks and we're going to withhold the straw." He was a hard taskmaster. He came on them strong and difficult and hard. I believe this morning, that this man's perception was wrong, because he was afraid. There was a fear in his heart. There was something there that caused him to draw back. He was afraid. Do you know fear this morning causes us to not see things like they need to be seen? Fear distorts things to our mind and to our spirit. It blows it up a lot bigger than what it is. Today, if you look at God, if you see God as somebody that's hard, that's exacting, if you see God as someone that it seems like you never can satisfy or never can get to the place where you please, I want to tell you something. You've got the wrong perception. He said, "Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, this morning, it's not hard to serve God. It's not hard. He's not a hard taskmaster. I don't know of anyone I'd rather work for today than God. When I look in my past life and I see His long suffering, I see His mercy extended to me, I see His patience and His gentleness. You know, I'm encouraged this morning because God is still wanting to work with me. He's still wanting to work with me when all the mistakes I've made, even since I've gave my heart to Him. He is still desiring to work in my heart and my life. Folks, that's a good employer. That's a good boss. That understands your weaknesses. That knows where you came from. The way we need to look at this scripture, I believe the Lord, it seemed like, opened up to my mind, is that if you went and you paid somebody to do a job, you gave them money to pour a foundation or something, and you gave them the money, you paid them in advance, wouldn't you have an expectation? We'd be a little disappointed, wouldn't we, if we put out some money and we paid them to do a job and we had to go away, we come back, we expect the job done. You know, this morning the Lord is expecting something out of you and me. He's not hard. He's not severe. And He's not harsh. But He does have a rightful expectation of something from you and I. Because He's given every one of us something that He wants us to use to profit people, to benefit people, those that are around about us. But you know, we're going to have to overcome our fear. And that's my burden this morning. I want us to think a little bit about fear. This man said, "I was afraid." How quick are we to acknowledge when we're afraid? We don't like to think about being afraid, do we? Especially men. Supposed to be strong. Supposed to be able to do a whole lot. But you know, we're still people. We're still human. Jesus spent some hours in the garden before He went to the cross. You know, He was battling some fears that He had when He looked out there and He saw the cross. I'm not trying to tell us this morning that we won't find an experience where you'll never find fear. But He doesn't want us to have a spirit of fear. There's a difference between fear and having a spirit of fear. And God wants us to be able to overcome a spirit of fear. There are a lot of, I don't know, it doesn't give all the details about this man, why he was afraid. But when I look out and I look into my own heart and my life, I want to tell you something. I've had fears in my life. That has distorted my view and my perception at times, more than what I could comprehend and understand at the time. And I believe if all of us would be honest this morning, we would recognize that somewhere along the way, you've probably had some fears. And you know, I believe in our Christian life, there's one scripture that said, "The thing I feared came upon me." God wants us to be able to face those fears and to be able to acknowledge, "I'm afraid." We have to get to that place where we recognize where our battle's at. There's a scripture, this fear caused this man to become, it said slothful, but it means inactive. It caused him to be inactive. It wasn't just because he was lazy. His fear was the basis for his slothfulness, his inactiveness. He drew back because he was afraid. Not because I believe when we're under that fear, we look out and we see other people. We see them trading what God has given them. We see them overcoming their fears and their blessed. There's a joy. He said, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Do you know when we begin to overcome those fears and we begin to respond to the Spirit of God, we begin to find the fullness of the Christian life. We begin to walk in the joy of the Holy Spirit and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But when we draw back into our shell and into our corner because of fear, then we're empty. We don't have that joy. We don't have that blessing like we would like to have. There are a lot of different reasons people fear today. I think about we're living in a world today of divorce, broken homes. You know, it's plaguing our society today. And you know, there's an effect. It affects lives. And it affects children. I think about children that grow up in homes without a dad. The only one they know as dad is someone that lives across town or in another state. You know, they have to deal with fears. They grow up feeling guilty. Girls and boys, little children. They feel ashamed. They get around other parents and they don't want to talk about mom and dad. Because they don't really know whose theirs is altogether. Feel shame. They had nothing to do with it. Wasn't their fault. And if you're from a home like that, I want to tell you this morning, you're not at blame. Don't carry that guilt. Don't carry that accusation. It brings insecurity. And it brings fear. And people have a hard time. Folks, a lot of people don't overcome that spirit of fear in their hearts and in their lives. There's a scripture that says, a slothful man saith there's a lion. A lion's out in the streets and he just stays back in. You know, sometimes we don't identify fear for what it really is. We think of an excuse or a reason. Well, that's why I'm not doing this. And that's why I'm not doing that. And we can make up all kinds of our reasonings and excuses. And all the time at the very bottom, down there, under all of those excuses, can be a spirit of fear. I'm afraid. But all these other excuses, because we don't, as people, we just don't like to acknowledge our fears. I watched a video a few months back of a young girl. She was away from home now and she had gone to college. But she came back to meet her dad. Her dad was serving prison time for abusing her, sexually abusing her from a young child on up. And I saw when they came together, I saw the fear in her eyes. I saw the confusion, the distrust. And folks, that's the kind of world that we're living in today. You just don't say, well, they just didn't accept the truth or they don't like the gospel. Many times it's because they're afraid. There's some fear there. They're afraid. They don't understand. They don't comprehend. And we're going to have to reach out and bear. They don't just get it after they get saved one time. Folks, a lot of times people have a lot of things. The Lord saves, the Lord blesses. But there are a lot of things. The Holy Spirit, as we go on in the Christian life and as we are honest with Him, the Holy Spirit begins to reveal these things and helps us to recognize the influences that were in our life that cause us to do what we do, that cause us to react the ways that we react. Yeah, they don't. Many times they're not profitable and they're not beneficial because we're afraid of our fears. But the Lord will cause us and bring us to those places. We recognize, Lord, I'm afraid. And I need Your help. This man He buried. He enclosed. You know, I think about sometimes I see big dogs, and I don't care to be around big, vicious dogs. I usually, if they're on one side of the road, I'll walk on the other side, keep my distance from big dogs. But you know, we do that as people. We begin to keep our distance. We begin to keep some distance. And you know, the sad thing about it, we do it with the Lord. We can actually do it with God, subconsciously, not realizing what we're doing. I'm keeping a distance in my relationship. We're trying to get closer to God. And we're struggling when we're praying. And yet at the same time, we're not confronting our fears. There's some fears down there that we're not facing. And we're holding God at bay because we're afraid. Folks, there are a lot of fears today. There are a lot of fears. We're living in a fearful world. A fearful society. People are afraid today. You know, people that sometimes they just act so macho and they act like they're the man of the town. You know what that is sometimes? That's a cover up for fear. Sometimes people are just afraid to be themselves. They're trying to be somebody else that they're not because they're afraid of who they really are. It's just a front. Deep down inside, take away all that front, exterior. Talk to them alone. And there's some fears there. They're afraid. And folks, we need to recognize those fears as the Holy Spirit begins to reveal those things to us. I think about sometimes children coming up under a spirit of criticism. The parents are always negative. Child does, you know, children have a desire to try to do what's right and try to please. Very young, they want to do what's right. But you know, we can crush that by not allowing them, recognizing their maturity level and where they're at in life, and always saying, well, you didn't do that right. And they grow up and they feel like, I can't do anything right. Folks, that's real. And you know what we have in our natural lives, we carry over into the spiritual. And then when we get saved, we have that same relationship with God. I begin to fear God just like I feared my parents. Folks, let's not be negative. There's discipline. There's correction. But let's not be negative and have a critical spirit about us. You know, a spirit of criticism comes from this very thing too. I'm finding out. I'm learning this. People that have a spirit of criticism, that never can find anything to say good about things, they have some fears. There are some places where they've been wounded and hurt in life, and they've got some fears that need to be healed. And when they see someone else, they're always wanting to find fault with something. That's wrong. The children of God, the Lord wants us to have a better, positive outlook. There's times of correct, but He said in love. And that's the way the Lord corrects us. He corrects us in kindness, in His love, in His mercy, in His compassion. And I'll say this morning, if you feel like the Lord is not correcting you that way, I want to say you're listening to the wrong voice. Because the devil comes in to accuse. The devil's a hard taskmaster. And he'll bring hard thoughts to your life that will just cause you to want to wilt down and shrivel up and die. And strike fear to your heart and to your life. I wanted to get a scripture in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. First Timothy. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. It says in the 6th verse, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now I don't know all of Timothy's history, but the scripture Paul commended his grandmother and his mother. And who was it? Another? Was there three of them? Anyway, his grandmother and his mother commended them for his faith, didn't say nothing about his father. But I wonder here, the way this scripture is worded, it says, "I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that is in thee by the putting on of my hands." It seemed like Timothy, to me, from this reading, it sounded like he had a gift that was recognized and he began to use it. But maybe something happened that caused him to begin to withdraw. And Paul is saying, "I want to put you in remembrance. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." He said, "Stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." You know, there are times that I remember, I hope you don't mind sharing some personal experience, not trying to brag, it's a failure. I remember the second time I got up to preach and share the Word of God there at Guthrie at the old chapel. I felt like I failed so miserably. And I was tempted, I saw those back doors. And I was walking back to my seat, I wanted to just go out the back door and keep on going. I didn't feel like giving up the Lord, but I was pretty discouraged. I felt like I'd get up without the Lord. That's a miserable feeling. Very miserable. And you know, I struggled, and I remember setting my mind, I remember thinking, I don't want to go back from where I came from. I knew what God had done for me. I knew where I came from. But I began to put my feet down. And I began to just stay. I'm not going forward and I'm not going back. You know what it was? It was fear. It was fear. I had heard the Lord brought to my mind. My wife began visiting with me and talking to me. But I remember hearing somebody one time said that they had to consecrate to be a failure. They had to consecrate to be a failure. Well, I endeavored to do that. And I'm still working on it. But I believe that today. Sometimes the enemy holds us back. Fear of failure. Fear of what other people are going to say about us. Fear of the unknown. Sometimes people get in a place of fearing to consecrate their lives to God because they're afraid of what the Lord might want. They're afraid of what the Lord might call them to do. They pray hard. They're sincere. They love the Lord with all their hearts. They're wanting to give themselves to God. But there's some fears there that are holding them back. And I want to say today, we have to, every one of us today, I'm finding out we don't have to be perfect. Brother Michael brought us a message on perfection there in Jefferson. Perfection that the Scriptures talk about is not the perfection that sometimes we in the human think about. Every sentence doesn't have to be just perfect and everything just so-so. We're human. I am just as human as you are today. And the enemy holds us back in those places. You know, we have a famine of people that are afraid to lead out in prayer in our congregations. They have a feeling they can't pray like somebody else. You don't have to. And the Lord doesn't want you to. He wants us to be us. Who we are, ourselves. Don't be afraid of ourselves. Sometimes we are, though. Well, I can't speak like somebody. I can't pray like them. I can't testify like them. I don't have their ability. It's all right. You know, sometimes when we look out and we see other people, you know what we see most of the times? We see their strengths. Yeah, we see their weaknesses too. But this type of person that I'm talking about, he sees the strengths of other people more than he sees their weaknesses. And he compares their strengths with his weaknesses. And he feels like, how can I ever? Folks, don't compare your weaknesses with their strengths. You've got strengths that they don't have. And they've got vice versa with weaknesses and strengths. Another place he said, comparing yourselves among yourselves, that's not wise to do. Because God wants us to be us. And He'll bless us as we endeavor to do that, as we endeavor to follow Him. I want us to recognize today that the way to victory is we're going to recognize where our battle is at in this. We're going to have to recognize some of the things that have influenced our lives. We're going to have to recognize those fears. And we're going to have to take a stand against them. We're going to have to recognize our natural. You know the scripture in one place he talked about? He said not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. But you know there's another side of that. People think lower of themselves than they ought to think. My battle is not usually, we can all be lifted up with pride at times. But my battle has been other people can do it better than me. That is where my real battle is at. And I don't know exactly where your real battle is at, but I know you need to recognize where it's at today. And I know the Lord will begin to give you scriptures. Memorize those scriptures. This one here in Timothy, I've used it over and over and over. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, because the devil's going to try to bring back those fears. He's going to try to bring back those torment, the guilt. And we're going to have to press against those things and say, I'm not going to receive it. Yes, I feel afraid. One place he said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, when we begin to feel, I want to challenge, encourage us today that when God begins to deal with us, He doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't make a mistake. When the Holy Spirit begins to knock on your heart's door, whatever it is, whether it's salvation, whether He shows you a need that you have in your life, whether He has a responsibility that He wants you to do, and He begins to burden your heart, He begins to help you to see it, recognize. Pretty soon He begins to burden you and give you a desire. And then what happens? All of a sudden the fears start to come. And what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? And you know what? We end up burying the talent that God has given to us. Now I know all of us probably can hear say, guilty, quench the spirit. I've quenched the spirit in my life more times than I'd like to confess. But I don't want to spend my entire life doing that. I don't want to come down to the end of the way and allow that those fears have dominated my entire life. And dominated my home life, dominated my life, my association with the people of God and what God wanted me to do in life, I don't want to come down to the end of the way and the Lord have to say those words to me. Because you know what? The Lord has given us everything to overcome. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Word of God. And even though sometimes we feel trembling, faint, a little weak, you know, you get cotton mouth, dry throat, step out and allow the Lord to begin. Because God doesn't make mistakes when He begins to deal with us. I've been challenged. This has been a consolation to me in thinking too, is the illustration of the body. You know, my hand is not the head. It just responds to the head. My hand does not have to figure out why it's picking up a glass of water or why it's doing certain functions. It doesn't have to figure that all out. It just follows. We sang a song that talked about being moved at the impulse of thy love. You know, when God begins to burden us and begin to deal with us, we don't have to figure it all out. Because we can't. And we never will be able to figure it all out. We have to trust the Lord. What time I'm afraid? I will trust you, Lord. You know what? You're the head. Christ is the head, isn't He? He's the head of the church. We don't have any earthly head. Christ is the head. And He burdens. He gives gifts. And He burdens. And I've been challenged, Lord, I want to move more at Your impulse. I don't want to argue with You all the time. You know what would happen to us if my hand decided, I'm not going to lift up today? The body would suffer. The body begins to shut down and die. And it happens to the spiritual body. Sometimes we don't recognize how much we impact one another today. We don't recognize the influence of our lives. We just think, well, it won't hurt me to not do anything or not say anything. It does. It affects the body. If I couldn't raise my hand up and something came through the air at me, I couldn't raise my hand up, or it wouldn't go up. The body suffers damage. And what's serious about it, souls are involved in all of this. Souls, people, lives, our children, our families, people that we go, when we don't respond to the Spirit of God, it affects them too. Let's be encouraged and challenged today. I want to encourage you. God is not a hard taskmaster. But I want to learn more how to respond. Lord, at the impulse of Your love, when You begin to speak to me, I don't want to make excuse. I don't want to resist the Holy Spirit. I want to be pliable in Your hand. Folks, as we do that, one place it talked about there in Ephesians, it says, the effectual increase, it says, in every part, every joint supplieth, maketh increase of the body. There can be more increase when there are more joints that begin to fill their place and to begin to supply the needed areas. Lord, help us today to overcome fear. Amen. Pray for me.